present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nemo, Clement Freud and Alfred Marx in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've heard, we're delighted to welcome back Alfred Marx, who did so well a few weeks ago, to come and do battle again with our three stalwart and intrepid players of the game. We're going to begin the show this week with Derek Nemo, and as usual, they're all going to try and speak, if they can, for just a minute on some subject that I'll give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. Derek, the subject to begin the show is putting one over. Could you talk to us on that one? 60 seconds, starting now.
It is really quite difficult to put one over, I suppose. I have tried occasionally, particularly during the Lenten season, but then I have discovered as the years have gone by that I am getting a little too elderly for this particular pursuit. Sometimes, though, when the sun is in the sky, I rise with new confidence.
And Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
The sun is always in the sky.
A very
you
good
can't always
challenge.
See it, though, can you?
That's right.
No. Clement, I agree with your challenge, so you gain a point for that, and you take over the subject. And you have 37 seconds on putting one over, starting now.
There's a lot of putting one over in this country, which is known as putting one under in Australia and New Zealand. Because being on the other side of the globe, it is a geographical as well as geometrical phenomenon that the over-putting cannot be consistent in all parts of the globe. Maudy Littlehampton, whom Sir Osbert Lancaster epitomized and drew so very beautifully in the Beaverbrook Press, has on many occasions excelled himself by...
Well, the whistle which Ian Messiter blows for us tells us that 60 seconds is up and whoever speaking at that moment gains an extra point. Alfred Marx, will you begin the next round? The subject, the fright of my life. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Walking up the aisle at my wedding, I turned to my bride-to-be, looked at her askance, screamed and said, "Darling, behind you are five of my old girlfriends." A fright I think no one of any...
Derek Nemo challenge.
Isn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid, sir. He had an awful fright, didn't he?
You seen my wife? Wouldn't wonder that I hesitated. And you're full of fright at the moment.
44 seconds for you, Derek, on the fright of my life, starting now.
The fright of my life occurred when I was in Victoria in Australia and travelling from Bendigo to Ballarat. I happened to be following behind Wilkie's circus, and the circus stopped at the light...
And Clement Freud has challenged.
To Circai.
And Clement...
What happened when they stopped the lights, then?
All the monkeys got out. Top of the bridge. There are 32 seconds, Clement, on the fright of my life, starting now.
I think the fright of my life occurred when I came to this program and saw yet again Nicholas Parsons. That chairman whom I thought, after several weeks ago, we had got rid of. It had been tacitly agreed among the people here that he was elderly and incompetent. And yet, I entered the studio, and there he was, the fright of my life. And if you would like...
Well, this is the fright of Clement Freud's life, telling you that at the end of that round...
He's disqualified.
He was our befair, that he was speaking when the whistle went, and old as I am, I can still read what Ian Mess has written down. He's got a good lead at the end of that round. Derek Nemo, your turn to begin. The subject, clocks. Would you tell us something about those in 60 seconds, starting now?
The very first kind of clock to be recorded was the clepsydron, which was invented in ancient Egypt and was formed by a stone bowl with a hole in it through which water slowly dripped. Things have improved since then. We've used sand. Of course, sundials were very popular. And sometimes if you travel in the southern hemisphere, you find these particular kind of clocks, which are set
to a period before Greenwich Mean Time, and therefore they don't record in any kind of accuracy that hour which is now taking place. Also, one thinks of Tompion, the great clockmaker of England, who produced such wonderful works of art that one can see in the Victoria and Albert Museum, the Wallace Collection, and throughout all the galleries of the world. And there you will be able to buy one of these great masterpieces.
Well, this week they're really showing their paces. Last time Alfred Marx was here, they hardly got going at all. But this week, nothing's holding them back. So Derek started with the subject, finished with the subject. So he got 2 points for that, and he is 1 point behind our leader, Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is wedding photographers. And there are 60 seconds, and you start now.
I'm awfully pleased to be given the subject of wedding photographers, because wedding photographs is something which I speak about at great length and have, in recent times, actually done. Whereas photographers are...
Derek, there's temptation. Yes, there was, because he dried up on the photographers.
Dry up.
There are 45 seconds, Derek, for you to go on wedding photographers, starting now.
I don't like seeing wedding photographers crawling down the aisle of the church, which they seem to do with increasing frequency these days, to take snaps from interesting angles beneath the bride's bouquet. I think they should be kept firmly outside the eglise, and there take their snaps when the happy party come outside.
Alfred Marx, the chap.
Repetition of snaps.
Yes, there were too much snapping going on there. There are 26 seconds, Alfred, for you on wedding photographers, starting now.
My dear grandmother, who's long deceased, went to wedding photographers in our locality and said, I have here...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
I'm sure on his grandmother's day there could have been portrait painters.
What a horribly rude
There's no
challenge.
Need to be so nasty. You really are a very nasty person, Nimmo. You may have lovely toes, but you've got a mean mind.
While you can be rude to the chairman and I don't do much about it, I can at least offend the other contestants, especially when they're a guest and they don't come regularly.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman.
20 seconds and a point for a wrong challenge and wedding photographers starting now.
She presented this photograph of my dead grandfather and said, this is very old-fashioned. Could you do something about it? And he said, yes, we have a retouch artist. And she said, what I want you to do is to remove the hat. He said, fine. And then she said, could you please erase the moustache? He said, yes. And then she said, could you alter the collar to make it more modern? He said, yes. And the photographer said, when I remove the covering for the head, which side does he part his hair? She said, you'll see that when you take his hat off.
Alfred paused then because he thought someone had challenged him, which was actually incorrect. But he was speaking then when the whistle went. You're in second place behind our equal leaders, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. Lady Hamilton. Ian. Always gives you a... And there are 60 seconds and you start now.
Well, she wasn't a very recommendable person, not in my point of view anyway. And there were several liaisons long before the husband whose title she took came along. And apparently there was this sort of conniving threesome with her and Nelson and this old man she got in tow with. And it all seems to me to be reprehensible, to say the least. He was a Greek antiquary, though, and went around looking at these Corinthian marbles, as they were known, and apparently enlightened quite a few as to their authenticity. And she bore this child, or infant, as you might put it, depending on your proclivities, to the aforementioned Horatio Watsit. And, of course, a lot of people maintain that during her stay in Naples...
I suppose if you have to keep going when there's a threat of a challenge coming from three keen people, you can call... Nelson Horatio Watsit. So, Kenneth, you started with the subject and you finished, so you got a point for speaking the whistle went, and you've got 2 points for that, and you're still in fourth place. Alfred Marx, your turn to begin. The subject, discovery. Can you talk to us on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
The discovery I've made since I've been a guest on this show is either to shut up if you have nothing to say, save it up for the time when you can really get in with a sharp one, because you're surrounded by such people who have such vast experience.
And Ferrick Nimmo challenge.
Of such. Right.
There are 48 seconds starting now.
Gosh, I love journeys of discovery. Finding for the first time the thermal springs of Rotorua, down to the South Island of New Zealand, the beauties of Milford Sound. Who's
chanting? Alfred Marx, the chant.
It's just that he's shouting in my ear, that's all.
So what do you call that, deviation?
I call it torture. There is a microphone in front of him, and one of them loves modern inventions.
He thought your ear was the microphone, I think.
Extremely sensitive, why he persists in script. I think it's sabotage. He's trying to deafen me, so I can't challenge him. He knows very well. My finger's poised on the button here, ready to challenge, and he thinks if I deafen this old chap next to me, he won't be able to get in and
I'm
spoil
the,
my score.
I'm the old chap in his...
yes, I mean you, actually.
Oh, they're all at it now. Derek, an incorrect challenge. There are 40 seconds for you to continue on discovery starting now.
From Waitangi I go across the Tasman Sea and land in the fair city.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, we've already had this mess about New Zealand and geese, and now we've got...
It was Australia before.
Nothing is to do with discovery.
Oh,
nothing
I think...
Nothing is to do with discovery. Discovery means something quite other than visiting them.
No, if you go there...
You don't know the difference between visiting something and discovering it. You must be stark raving mad.
If you don't know the difference between discovering something for yourself for the first time...
Nonsense. Discovery is what nobody else has done. You're great, Nick. Don't you understand that? You can go and look in the Louvre at the Mona Lisa, but you're not discovering it, dear.
I discover all kinds of things.
Help us all. Well, they all end up in the loony bin. This is just rubbish.
I discover all kinds of things in the Louvre.
This is a family show.
I know. And you shouldn't bring your supporters club with you, all shouting up knit whenever you do. Right. Derek, I disagree with his challenge after all that. 33 seconds on discovery, starting now.
The fine ship Discovery, anchored in the Thames, is a guardian to the chipping coming down towards us. When that sail to the Antarctic...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
The Discovery that is moored in the Thames is not a guardian to the shipping that's coming towards us.
No, I quite agree.
Quite agree.
Don't say any more. Don't say
any more. I
agree with your challenge. Don't say any more. Please. Just let me say, I agree with you, take the subject, and there are 23 seconds on discovery starting now.
The first name that springs to mind is, of course, Galileo.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of course. He said it earlier.
I haven't spoken on this subject, you great fool.
He hasn't spoken on this.
I haven't spoken on discovery spoken... yet, you great fool. Oh, I'm surrounded by mental defectives. I don't know why I mean, they should all get the GCE or something.
The trouble is, Kenneth, you speak so much when you're not on the subject that everybody thinks you're on it. But you didn't actually say, of course, on the subject. There are 18 seconds for you to continue on discovery starting now.
He said the world is not flat as everyone had hitherto believed, but that it revolves upon its own axis. And that consequently, the pull of gravity is such that you cannot possibly fall off. Well, they were a
yeah, Kenneth, you were speaking then when the whistle went. You got that extra point. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is geezers. So would you tell us something about those? Not the, necessarily the ones in Rotorua. You might be... I can't pronounce it.
I will for you in a moment. Don't worry.
Thank you. I believe we've had some visitors all the way from New Zealand, Australia, who've come over deliberately with the programme. Do you enjoy listening to Just a Minute over there?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely ecstatic about it.
Here are you. Here are you. How are you doing? All right? Right. How's that?
You really want me to tell you?
No.
Thank goodness. Right. Derek, the subject is geezers. There are 60 seconds and you start now.
Well, of course, I must go back immediately to Rotorua and talk about...
Alfred Marx, a challenge.
Yes, I wish he would.
Now, look here, Alfred. There's no need to be rude to a fellow panelist. I don't think rudeness has any place in this show.
Well,
don't cut that out immediately. Let's have a little courtesy and gallantry.
Shut yes. your face. I've sat here nice and quiet listening to all your drivel.
Right, so after that rude challenge, he's obviously getting the feel of the game now, Alfred Marx is. There are 56 seconds on geezers with you, Derek, starting now.
The most beautiful one of which is the Prince of Wales feathers, which you can see go up into the air once every half an hour. And what a magnificent sight it is. Also, I've got one in my kitchen at home, which is very nice, actually, which I have lit by gas. And sometimes, when the weather is cold, I turn it up a little bit and get even warmer water from it. And this works very well, you know, and I prefer it to an immersion heater. I don't know about you. Many of you try geezers because they're jolly good, you know. They're going a bit out of fashion. Better than coal fires, too. But I find, too, that if you know an old man, you say, hello, you silly old geezer. Julius Caesar, he's got a face like a lemon squeeze, I used to sing at one point. I can't quite remember why, but it's a rather nice little song. And then one returns again to... to Italy this time. Was something
No, you packed up. Alfred
no,
challenged
that's right. It was all got very quiet.
Yeah. Well, it was so damn boring. Alfred, you got in there. What is your challenge?
Well, it's just that he hesitated.
Oh, he didn't. There are 12 seconds for geezers with you, Alfred, starting now.
Yes, Derek mentioned geezer as appertaining to an old man. Well, of course, this is Cockney rhyming slang, of which I happen to be somewhat of an expert. There is your Peckham Rye, your Dickie, your Armands, and all other things such as your Darby Kelly.
So, Alfred Morris telling us a little bit about Cockney rhyming slang, move forward, having gained the extra point. We were speaking when the whistle went. Clement, we're back to you. The subject is Sue. Would you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
During International Aubergine Fortnight in 1972, I was presented by a girl called Sue with a fairly sizable parcel of these delectable vegetables, which are a sort of heliotrope to purple colour and have a sheen about them which is all of their own. It is quite unique, and I'm delighted to be able to recommend them to all listeners.
Kenneth has chosen
the deviation. It seems to be a discussion about aubergine and not Sue.
I would have thought the same too, Kenneth. So you have a point for that, and you have 32 seconds, Kenneth. Sue with you, starting now.
She is, of course, the subject of a very popular song, which I was wont to sing in my youth, a long, alas, time ago, and a term which we all have a familiarity with, apropos litigation. To sue any person who has his opinion.
Derek Dimmer's charged.
I thought a hesitation, but perhaps not.
You're quite right, it wasn't. And so Kenneth gets another point, and he keeps going with the subject, and there are 10 seconds left on Sue, starting now.
And when the Manchester Tramway Company sued, or were the counteraction, so to speak, to a gentleman who said he lost his arm...
Kenneth was then speaking when the whistle went and got the extra point. He's back in third place. And Kenneth, it's your turn to begin again. The subject, promises. We've had a few of those on this program, but would you talk about them now for just a minute, starting now?
These are, of course, binding, and especially when they are made with the hand upon the good book itself. The idea of this kind of reverence can only hold true validity if the spiritual ethos attaching to the laws which we have come to regard as important is truly there. Can only be there, in fact, with a proper theological basis in education. Lamentably lacking in modern society to such an extent that the promise, I will tell the truth, and nothing but the aforesaid quality, is frequently abused, and members of the public, aware that such promises are not being truly observed, something is going on behind my back and I'm being deliberately provoked in this, but I will not...
You were not being provoked. There was a challenge which was immediately withdrawn.
Well, you've been doing an awful lot of winking and touching up that bloke next to you there.
I'm trying to do my best.
Kenneth, if you keep quiet, I will tell you what happened. You, Kenneth, have moved in to the lead alongside Derek Nimmer. Well, that went down. Alfred, it's your turn to begin. The subject is what I know nothing about. 60 seconds starting now.
I know nothing about grammar, for a start. I also know nothing about almost any subject which you can put to this panel. That is probably why I have been given this question. This starts from my education. I spoke about this recently, and probably on another show, about my dear grandfather, who was responsible for my learning and teaching me. I remember once as a child taking me on a tram to the British Museum. We went into the room on Egyptology, and there, standing in the corner, was the sarcophagus open and inside a mummy, swathed in brown bandage from head to foot, with a little brass plate at the bottom saying BC 25. I remember turning to him and saying, "What is that?" And he said, "Maybe it's the number of the car that hit him." This is the sort of thing that led to my lack of education. As a consequence, I know nothing about almost everything that you can mention. Minter, nuclear fission, I know nothing about it.
Well, Derek Nimmer has challenged your
education.
Yes. But the audience obviously enjoyed your grandfather. There are 13 seconds left, Derek, for you to continue to take up the subject of what I know nothing about, starting now.
James, what I know nothing about, except for the tiniest little fact, which is hardly worth repeating, and so I won't. But apart from that, I know very little about memory tricks, or misprints, or clocks, or Lady Hamilton, or wedding photographs, the Discovery, or Geezer, or Sue, or Plumses, or what I know nothing about.
So, Derek was then speaking when the whistle went, and he has got the extra point for doing so. And, Derek, it's your turn to begin again. The subject, my Geiger counter. Would you tell us something about that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
I have a very long and interesting Geiger counter. It was given to me last Christmas, and I've always wanted one. It was made, I believe, in Germany, which I think is quite appropriate, because, of course, a Geiger counter was invented by a German professor named Geiger. And that is why this thing is so named, as any poor fool can tell you. I want
Clement Freud is challenged.
It's me.
What's your challenge?
He said it was named twice. It was named after him, named after him.
Yes, all right, Kenneth. You have the subject, and you have 36 seconds for my Geiger counter starting now.
Well, I'm singularly ill-equipped to discuss it, because I haven't got one. But I suppose I could make up something about my Geiger counter, in the sense that it might exist in my imaginative faculty.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
I was wondering, as Derek is so long, and you know, maybe you can let Kenneth have some of it. Poor Kenneth said there were no Geiger counters. Derek here with a very long one. I don't see why he shouldn't borrow some of it. And then he can talk eruditely and articulately on the subject.
So what's your challenge?
That he's so selfish, Derek Nimmer, so damn long, thin Geiger counter, which he refuses to part with.
Well, actually, that wasn't a legitimate challenge.
No, but it was worth saying.
And that's why we love having you on the program,
Thank
Alfred,
you very
because
much.
Because it's the things that are
I
worth saying.
I introduced the rubbish element.
There are 28 seconds on my Geiger counter, Kenneth, starting now.
And were it to be in my hand, I would wave it about so that I was able to detect any kind of tremor or earth-like activity.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
What's he challenging about?
It's disgusting.
Well, he keeps the subject, and he has 20 seconds on my Geiger counter starting now.
It would be very useful indeed in detecting metal objects which might represent a threat to the continuance of humanity in general.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
I don't think it's the metal which presents the threat. I think it's actually the radium content of the metal.
But you agree that radium has produced many grave hazards to humanity?
I'm talking to the chairman. You don't mind, do you?
You weren't such a pompous twit. You'd listen to anybody else talking.
If I wasn't such a pompous twit, I wouldn't be on this show.
You would say that again.
7.
Hai letto il mio pensiero.
Ho pronto mangiare quante ore avanti. Now we're back.
We're very lucky this isn't going to Italy because neither of you can speak one word of Italian.
Hai letto il mio pensiero? Is you taking the words out of my mouth? And moreover, you don't know where they've been.
So, Kenneth, as I disagree with the challenge, you have 10 seconds left. Are you ready to continue? And it might be the last round, and it's very close. My Geiger counter starting now.
It makes a sound which goes...
Oh, Derek, challenge.
Repetition.
And I thought you were a friend of mine.
Yes.
When I think of the things you told me last week in Sackville Street. And now you sit there doing the dirt on me.
There are 8 seconds, Derek, on my Geiger counter starting now.
I use mine for looking for radioactivity in metal if it's buried in the ground, and I found it to be particularly useful in this respect on the beaches of...
Well, Derek Nimmo kept going to the whistle and got that extra point on this occasion, so... I will now give you the final score because I'm afraid we do have no more time to play just a minute. Alfred Marx, returning again, contributed wonderful value to the program for which we thank him very much and we hope he'll come back again. He did finish in fourth place, just 1 point behind Clement Freud, who's done so well in the past, but they were both quite a few points behind this week's equal winners, Derek Nimmo with Kenneth Williams. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to Just a Minute and want to tune in again at the same time next week when once again we take to the air and we play this game of Just a Minute. So then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.